Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome to another episode here on God's Word to Man. I am your host for tonight, Brother Kevin Bruce. And as always, I am excited about God's Word to Man. Amen. We have to understand that God's Word is a transforming word. It's not just some philosophical jargon that we use, or and when we invoke the name of Jesus, it's not just something that we do out of religious form. But we have to understand that there's power in the name of Jesus. We have to understand that there's power through his word, power to transform us, power to change us, and power to change the situations around us. And God has given us a very powerful tool, and he's given us none other than his word to keep us and sustain us throughout in this world, so that we would be walking in the victory that he has desired for us to walk in, so that we won't be helpless. You know, God has given us that, and it is a blessing to have that and to live in that and to be able to walk in that. But you have to understand it. You have to understand what God's will is for your life. And I believe that when we begin to understand that will, we will begin to understand God's desire for our lives. And a lot of the situations that we are involved in, we will begin to see that it is not the will of God. You know, I believe that many believers are living in conditions in their lives that they believe that is, you know, this is God doing this to me. This is God allowing this because he wants to humble me, or, you know, I've been a bad boy. I've been a bad girl, and God is, you know, putting the sickness on me, you know, to humble me. He's doing this, you know, he's allowing this to strengthen my faith. And, you know, a lot of those things may be, you know, they may sound true. They may be dressed up as truth, but, you know, we have to be careful that we don't mischaracterize God. And, you know, we wouldn't want to be mischaracterized. So, you know, I think it's important that we not do the same thing with God. So, you know, we have to understand and learn truth as he has given it to us. Amen. So, as I said, this is our fourth episode here regarding strongholds. As I said, we are taking a closer look. This is called Strongholds 2.0. We're taking a closer look at strongholds and how they have affected so many people's lives, you know, to the point to where, as I just stated, that many people are looking at God and they're thinking like, hey, what's going on? What's going on? You know, why isn't there any change in my life? Why am I dealing with the same things? Why am I dealing with the same issues? And so we're going to cover some of that today, and we're going to go a little further. We're going to go a step deeper into these strongholds and why the enemy uses these, and why this is one of his greatest weapons against the believers. Amen. Satan uses this as one of his greatest weapons against the believers. And so we're going to put up some resistance. Amen. We're going to put up the resistance against the enemy, so that he doesn't just come in and have his way in our lives. Amen. So, before I go on, I want to give our broadcasting information. This is God's Word to Man. I am your host for tonight, Brother Kevin Bruce. And later on, I'm going to open up the call line so anyone that have a desire to call in. regarding tonight's topic, you may do so. That number here is 323-870-3403. Again, 323-870-3403. And I'm going to patch on my brother here, and we're going to tag team this particular topic. Hello, brother. How's it going?
Blessing, Lord, brother. Good to hear from you. How are you doing?
I'm blessed. Good to have you on, brother. As I said, we're going to be discussing strongholds, and this is our fourth episode of discussing Stronghold 2.0. And as I said, this is, you know, I believe that God wants us to take a closer look at strongholds and how they are affecting so many people's lives. And brother, when you just came on, I would just want to ask you if you can offer an opening prayer before we get started on the night's broadcast.
Amen, brother. Let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for another blessed day that you have allowed us to see. And we're grateful, Lord God, that you have given us the strength to go forth with this broadcast, and we're grateful that you have opened the door, this broadcast, that the gospel may go forth. Father, as I pray for my brother here, that you would word his mouth for your glory, to give the knowledge to the people that they need to know concerning what you will have for them to know in this subject tonight. So we petition you once again for you being the all-wise one, for the presence of your spirit to be with us. And we will be very grateful in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you for that.
Amen.
As I said, we're talking about strongholds, and we want to take a closer look at what is the hidden agenda of Satan and how he has used these strongholds. You know, in the Bible, oftentimes when Jesus and throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he encountered many demons. Many demons he encountered. Many that were vexed with demons. Many that were oppressed with demonic influences in their life. Remember that word, demonic influences in their lives. And oftentimes, I found a common theme or pattern among those particular instances where when Jesus faced them and they saw him, the Bible says that they cried out. They cried out. They saw him and they cried out. Now, when we're talking about strongholds, we're talking about, as I said, we're talking about a hidden hand, a hidden force that is working beneath or underneath or under the radar. So when we talk about strongholds or this as it relates to strongholds, when Jesus encountered these demons, there was one thing one pattern that I saw. They did not want to be seen or recognized, because this was how they drew their ability or their strength, by not being seen or recognized. They did not want Jesus to see them, because they did not want to come out. So
Amen.
When he saw them, and they saw him, they knew that their time there was up. But that stubborn attitude is what's manifesting in many lives of people when you touch on particular things. What are demonic influences there for? To oppress you. That's what they're there for. That's where we get the spirit of oppression from. Because the enemy, anything that comes to agitate, anything that comes to annoy, anything that comes to frustrate, anything that comes to worry, anything that comes to stress, this is the presence of a demonic influence. And many other things. Those are just a few. But this is the presence of a demonic influence. And so when these demons working on the inside of these people, working in the lives of these people, saw them, when they saw Jesus, they did not want to come out. So there we have the resistance. They did not want to be seen. They did not want to be recognized. They did not want to be noticed. This is the same thing that is going on in the lives of many people. These demonic influences that are hiding in these rear pockets that are influencing and affecting the lives of millions of people, and they don't want the light of the glorious gospel to be shined upon them. So their time would be up. So that wall of pride that we talked about, that fortified place that we talked about, this is where they hide, and this is where they have been so attached to our lives, to where now many people think, as we touched on a little bit yesterday, many people think, and the enemy has convinced them, this is what you're going to carry for the rest of your life. This is the way that you're going to be for the rest of your life. This is what it is for the rest of your life. And there's nothing that God can do about it. And there's nothing that you can do about it. So you might as well just live with it. But this is why we need the gospel to shine the light. When they saw Jesus, they cried out because they knew that their time was up. They were hiding. No one really knew what it was, but when they saw the authority, when they saw Jesus and they saw the authority that was upon him, they began to cry out. So, brother, I want to let you chime in on that.
You know, brother, you hit the nail on the head. I think that what people miss is, like, from what you're saying, that, you know, these demonic spirits and their influences, they want to influence and take over and torment and afflict. And, you know, people miss out. You know, they love the sin and things of that nature. And, you know, looking at the devil like he's a friend. But they fail to understand that once he has control, he controls with such a force and such a cruelty that, you know, you go to wish that you never had been involved with him. I know many of these singers and actors who have sold themselves out to the devil, if they really could just talk and say, will probably say, hey, I regretted doing it. Because people look at the outward appearance like, oh, they're getting all the money, all the fame. But behind the closed doors, what those demons do to them, the torture, the torment they do to them, they don't want to talk about that. In fact, many of them are even too scared to talk about it because Satan has such a stronghold upon them in that area. And it takes a really humbling and break it down and calling out to God for them to come out and say, hey, I sold myself out, but these demons been ripping me to pieces. They've been doing because what people fail to understand is that when you accept what Satan gives to you in exchange for you worshiping him and all that, that he is the master of sin, but he's also the master of evil. And he's not gonna treat you like he loves you. When he gets that hold, he's going to abuse you, period. He said, hey, I gave you this money and this fame. Now I get to have my heyday and my playday with you. So, it ain't what people think, but this subject that you're doing it on here should show people more and more why that if the devil have the stronghold, why you need to be delivered.
Amen. Amen. And that's the purpose of besieging or capturing our thoughts, and also revisiting these strongholds, these fortified places that have been built through trying to protect. As I said yesterday, that fortified place is that wall of pride, that place that we build up and we keep God out through our thoughts, through our opinions, through our reasonings. This is the way that strongholds are built. Brother, if I don't believe that when I face demonic influences in my home, if I don't believe that I have authority, then I'll never pray and put them out.
Right.
If I don't believe that healing is for today, divine healing is for today, I'll never pray and ask God for healing or for healing for someone else. So these kind of thoughts that push God out of the equation and limits him and tells him that, well, you can do some things, but that, come on now, you can't. God, you can't heal cancer now. I mean, everybody that, God, you can't do that. You can't part a sea now. But see, if we spurn at the doings of the Lord, that unbelief will overtake you. And so now, this is what 2 Corinthians 10 chapter said, when we exalt exalt our own thoughts, he said, pull down every high thing and everything that exalts itself. What? Against his knowledge. So this is why we have to have a picture of what he says about us. This is why we have to have a picture. When I talk to people and I say, well, I walk and I live my life in health. I don't have to. God's desire for me, he said, beloved, I would above all that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul does prosper. So what was he saying? As your soul prosper. So you can only go for, and we know that the soul deals with what? It deals with your mind, your will, and your emotions. When we talked about that yesterday, we talked what areas does the enemy come to influence? And brother, you hit it. You hit on it yesterday. You said that the soul is our spirits are, but our soul, we have to keep renewing. We have to keep regenerating because the enemy is trying to get in there to affect it. He's constantly trying to affect it. And what he's doing is he is getting us. He is convincing us. I believe that it's 2 Corinthians where the Bible talks about how he said that he was talking about, Paul was talking about Eve. He said that I'm afraid that even as as the serpent, you know, beguiled Eve. So he is trying to pull you away from your, you know, your sincere devotion, to Christ. So what is he asking?
Right.
He's after your connection to Christ. Because if he can get your connection to Christ, then he can get you. He can influence and affect you. And what did he do with Eve? And as I said before, he got Eve to question God's character. So therefore, now she's looking at God and saying, I really don't trust you. So when we don't trust his word, then the other influence comes in. That influence, the demonic element of it comes in. And this is where many believers and many people are being tormented because they have prayed prayers with a double mind. And this is why, you know, we talked about getting your mind back, getting back, being clothed in your right mind. It's to understand God's will for your life. Because the enemy is coming in to give you another mind that says something totally contrary. It doesn't say, now, he's not highlighting who he is and what he's doing, but he's getting you to question God that, oh, he's not that faithful. Oh, that's impossible for him to do. Oh, you really don't have authority like that. You can't put me out.
Right.
As I said, these spirits and demonic influences does not want to be recognized. And how can they be recognized? By the glorious light of the gospel. They don't want the light of the gospel to be shined up on them. And that's why he is trying to disconnect you from your devotion to Christ, from your sincere devotion to Christ. So, brother, I want to let you chime in on that.
Yeah, brother, that's true because, you know, the word, you know, and me and Brother Lee was talking yesterday, and, you know, especially about this word, the Lord said, build yourself into the scriptures. And, you know, what people miss out on is that, you know, you get a witness from the Lord, the next step is you got to be rooted. And you got to be rooted through the word of God. And like you said, the gospel, the light of the gospel shines on darkness. It exposes the devil. And so people don't understand, you stay away from the gospel, then the darkness is there. If you stay away, the gospel is the light. When you come into the light, anything that was there in the darkness is shined upon. And so, you know, just like you giving them the remedy, which is the word, if they look for something else for the answer, you're turning away the light, the gospel. So therefore, it's just like, you know, you still walking in dark. You know, you turn into darkness to try to see. Darkness doesn't give you light. And that's what's happening. People are turning to darkness expecting to see. I mean, if I cut the light switch out of my house, but I want to see what's in front of me, but keep the light switch out, I'm not going to see what's in front of me. If I stay away from the light switch. And that's what people are doing. They're staying away from the light switch, the gospel of Christ, that exposes the devil. And they're looking to other alternatives for this deliverance, and the devil just sits there and laughs. Because you know that nothing else they can go to can deliver them from their stronghold.
And as we establish and have been establishing what strongholds are, you know, strongholds are around us everywhere that we go. And they are infected, you know, affecting our decision making. Strongholds have altered our personality, who we are as people. You know, as I say, they work under the radar. You know, people who have an attitude of being protected or being very cautious around other people, very guarded. That's a stronghold, and
yeah.
It has to be dealt with. But it comes from a source. It comes from a place. And like as I said, many of us are not willing to deal with, you know, are not willing to go there in that particular place. So what happens is they produce, you know, they're built to protect. These strongholds are built to protect and to guard. But when you protect and when you're protecting and guarding, you're also leaving God out of the equation. And so you'll leave him out. You'll leave him out of the equation. And once you start to leave him out of the equation, the thing that you're desiring, the healing that you're looking for, the validation that you're looking for, you won't find it anywhere else. Because it takes God to come in and to heal these particular things. But we need a new picture of ourselves. You know, we need a new picture of ourselves, a new picture of ourselves, but that new picture has to come daily in our thinking, the way that we think about God, the way that we think about ourselves, the way that we think about the authority that he has given us, the way that we think that he has given us authority and that he has all power. Because that'll catapult you into something totally different in your life, and you'll know and you'll understand, you know, how many people are walking around with fears and phobias and insecurities that they're carrying and have been carrying all of their life, timidness, all of these things that they've been carrying all of their lives. And the enemy, and as I said, the enemy convinced everybody in the gospel that this is just what it is. This is what you have to live with in your life. And Jesus comes along and tells them to go. And the person is liberated. The person is set free. And what we're saying here, regardless of what the whispers of the enemy has told you in your life, the voice of God is here to tell you that there is freedom for you in your life. You don't have to be bound. You don't have to be bound by lies, because the truth of God's word is here, and this is who you are. And this is why 2 Corinthians 10, you know, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We can't defeat the enemy on our own by dishonoring God, by dishonoring God's way. When we dishonor God's way, you know, the Bible says, submit therefore to God. Now, see, there it is, submitting to God. If you want the enemy out of your life, there's only one way to do it. There's only one way to get him out. Submit therefore to God. Now, this is the step. This is the principle that you have to use. When I submit my life to God, doing what he told me to, what did he say? You meditate on this word day and night. This is what David talked about. And we're going to talk a little bit about David here in a minute. This is what David talked about. Can you imagine David being out there herding those sheep and meditating on God? And when he was ready to face the giant, he said, oh, this is no problem. Do you know why? As big as the giant was, he knew that God and his word was bigger because of his meditation. Can you imagine having a Brother Nick, can you imagine having a word like that on the inside of you? That when you're faced with an impossible situation, when you're faced with the giants of life, these mountains. Now, he was faced with the giant. You know what Jesus told us? I say to you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, do you believe that you, wherever you're from, whatever your background is, now that you are in Christ, you have mountain-moving power that resonates on the inside of you. And Brother Nate, most of it is laying dormant. Most believers aren't believing that they have what it was. You know, the Lord showed me. He told me, you know, as I've stated, I believe on the last couple of broadcasts, I am currently in a battle to get my mind back.
Yeah. Right.
I am currently in a battle and in a journey into freedom, the freedom that God desires for my life. No, it's not going to happen overnight. You ain't going to tear them bricks down that was built up through trauma, through bad relationships, through insecurities. All they're not going to come back overnight, but it's a journey day by day of confessing God's word and renewing your mind in God's word every day to get your mind and your thinking back on track the way that God desires for it to be. And brother, I want to let you chime in on that with your thoughts.
Yeah, because you know, brother, when you look at it as you said, you know, the basic thing is that we have to see that our need for the Lord has to be there in this area of deliverance. People must understand that when Satan has the stronghold, you can't whoop him with your natural strength. You can't find no natural alternatives to defeat him. It's not going to happen. Because the war's in the mind. And, you know, you can go to all the psychologists you want to go to and all the psychiatrists you can go to. But when it comes down to it, that overall deliverance has to be through the way Christ said it.
Yeah.
And Christ, all through the word, laid the pattern down for us to deliverance. And he laid it down that we have to do it the way he said it. And if we don't, because these strongholds, brother, like you said, you know, that's actually what they are. Some people are taking sleeping pills to battle it. Some people are on the alcohol bottle to battle it. Some people are sleeping around thinking they're battling. And some people on drugs thinking they're whooping. They're trying all other means, you know, to get this deliverance beside the way Christ said it. Now, some people are ignorant about the deliverance. Some people are not. Some people, like you said, just don't believe.
Right.
Like you said, if you don't believe as a Christian, you have authority over the devil in your house, you ain't going to exercise it. You're not gonna exercise that authority. You're just gonna keep hollering to God. God, do something about it. And guess what? Nothing's happening. Because when they break down to it, God's gonna say, "You do something." Well, Lord, he's too strong. God, I gave you authority. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't believe, you're not gonna exercise it. And once again, how can you believe something you don't know? So if you don't take time to get in the Word, how can you believe? And see, it all evolves around what do you believe is the true deliverance? Do you believe it's the word?
Yeah.
Do you believe it's other alternatives? If you believe it's other alternatives, that's where you're going. You're going to go with other alternatives. Brother, when in 2010, when my blood pressure, my electrolytes, all my body got off, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't get no more than an hour sleep. If I doze off for an hour, wake up, my head was pounding. Brother, I was taking what they call excedrin migraine because it was giving me migraine headaches. The migraine pills would stop the headache, but it had me weak as ice water. And then, you know, the doctor I was dealing with said, well, listen, let me give you something to help you sleep. What he was giving to me, you know, it looked like I'm walking dizzy and all that stuff, and I had to tell him, look, man, I can't take this. And I had to quit taking all that. And one day, one night, brother, one night in the middle of the night, I'm sitting on the couch. All things fail. I said, Lord, I said, you know I'm having problems sleeping. And, Lord, you know I done tried this and that and this and that. Lord, I am totally dependent on you, Lord. I need you to put me to sleep. Brother, it took that heartfelt faith prayer. The moment I did it, brother, I went to sleep. Went to sleep, didn't have to take nothing else near for sleep anymore. Because it got me to, but see, brother, that stronghold had to be broken. It had to be done Christ's way. I mean, all these other ways that were being tried were failing. It wasn't working.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we thank God for doctors, but they're not God. And what they give you a lot of times has so many side effects, it may, quote, help you in one area and hurt you in another. So it cleared up one problem, but now you can't even walk straight. Okay?
That's right.
It cleared up another problem, and you can't stop itching. You know?
That's right.
So, I mean, you know, you're looking like, okay, what it, but it, like you said, these strongholds, and you're telling the people, you're giving them, like Jesus have commissioned you, the ultimate answer. The ultimate answer. You're giving them the ultimate answer. And, brother, it comes down to them seeing and accepting this ultimate answer or not. Because like you're saying, the true deliverance is going to come when people accept the answer and apply it.
That's right. Accept and apply. You hit that on the head, brother. And, you know, we have to see God for who he is. And strongholds come to prevent us. Like we talked about the spirit of prevention.
Right.
There's a spirit that tries to block and distort your view and your vision of who God really is. Brother, you can exercise authority over your pain.
Yeah.
This is the authority that God has given us, that God has given us as believers. That we can exercise authority over demonic influences. When they saw Jesus said, wait a minute, don't say a word. They try to say something, Jesus said, don't say a word, just go. And with the authority that he carried, don't you know we are carriers of the kingdom seed that resides on the inside of us. And we have to start conducting ourselves as one, but we have to get rid of the thing that is obscuring our vision of who we really are. Taking captive every negative thought against God and bringing that thing into obedience and telling that you ain't going, wait a minute, negative thought against God, you ain't going no further than this. This is the real fight. People always think, oh, yeah, and I was just battling the devil. Do you know what Paul said the real warfare was in Ephesians? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Thoughts are spiritual. Words are spiritual.
Yeah.
When you speak the word of God, do you see it? No. But a powerful force goes out. When you speak a word, period, a force goes out to accomplish what you said. Why? Because there's power. Because you have power in your word. The Bible said there's power in the tongue. That word tongue means there in Hebrew means yad. It means hand or creative, or a creative hand. What is hands made to do? To build things, to create things, to make things. That's what the tongue, that's what the ability of the tongue is for. And God has given us that, but he has armed us with his word. Amen. So
Amen.
God wants, you know, to change the way that we're thinking. And in 1 Samuel, we're just going to hit on this a little bit. We're going to look at the life of David, and then we're going to carry this over into the next part. 2 Samuel, the 17th chapter, we see the story, the popular story of David and Goliath. Now, David is taking on a giant, and he's just a boy. And see, this is what, brother, this is what our problems in life represent. Giants. This is Goliath. Don't you know that your problems, that these Goliaths, these giants in your life, don't you know that they have an actual voice? They can, brother, they can come and wake you up out of your sleep and say, "What you gonna do about me?" Don't you know this is what Goliath did to Israel every day? He got up and he taunted them. And he talked about them because he knew his stature. He knew how big he was. And he knew that he could intimidate them and scare them. So he used this. But this is what our problems in life represent. And God's word is our resource that we need to face these problems or these giants in our life. But we can't use ungodly methods. An ungodly method is worry, is fear. If you're going to use an ungodly way of doing things, like worrying and fear, you automatically negate God. As soon as these things come up, what do? We push God out of the way. And we say, you know what, I got this. And the proof that we say that we got it is worrying and fear. When he told us not to take part of these things, your Heavenly Father knows what you stand in need of. Now,
amen.
When you look at this in 1 Samuel 17, this story of David, it is a story, in my opinion, of the way that you see yourself. Look at Saul's men, the way that they saw themselves. When Saul said, I got all of this reward for anybody that's able to deliver us this giant." And what did his men do? Say, "Oh, not me." They took off. And what did David do? David said, "I'll do it." David said, and Saul, now, this is where you got to watch the voice of the enemy to create strongholds. Look at what Saul said to David. "You can't do this. That's not you. You're just a boy. You're not built for this." Not you, you know, maybe someone else, but not you.
Yeah.
These are the voices. These are the voices of doubt that negate God and push him out. These are the people that have the power and the authority and don't use it, because the whispers of Satan says, "You can't. That's you actually believe that part of the word? You actually believe that God is giving you some authority? See, I told you. See, you just said the name of Jesus and nothing happened. Told you don't have it. So you might as well just live with these migraines. Just live with another sleepless night. And, you know, this is just your life. Just accept it." And what do? We tell God, "Lord, you're not able with our actions." See the lies of the enemy and why these strongholds need to be exposed, so that we can walk in freedom the way that God desires for us to walk in freedom. So, you know, I believe this story is about self-perception. And, you know, Saul and his army's response and how David looked at it. You know, they were terrified. But David, he said, you know what? Well, where is he at? I'll take him on. And see, because, you know, what it is, see, there's great power in how we see ourselves. How we see ourselves and we see our worth. But, as I said, these demonic influences come to tell you something different about yourself. You're weak. You're insignificant. You don't matter. You just, you came from here. Nobody cares about you. Nobody cares about your, no one cares about your opinion. And see, one of the common strongholds is, you know, is rooted in our opinions, our reasonings. You know, we tell God, yeah, but, you know, I don't. So now we're not just wrestling the devil. Now we've included God in it. And we're wrestling all, and all three of us are in a battle. So
yeah.
God is trying to get our mind, you know, our minds right. You know, so some of the characteristics about, and I'm going to give you these three, and then we're going to close out. Some of the I'll give you a few of them. The characteristics of these things that are pressing against us about our situations in life, how they can be compared to Goliath. One of the things is their stature and how they come. A giant, we know one thing about a giant, they're big. So these things that come to press against our life, they're big. Number two is they come and they carry a heavy voice. So they're loud. They're loud. And as you look at Goliath, he came out and he voiced his opinion about Israel, and I'm quite sure he used every kind of word possible when he did. They weren't nice words that he used. This is the same thing that the enemy comes to do against us, because he's as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So he's looking for a candidate, somebody whose mind is not renewed, somebody who hasn't been meditating on God's word, that when he comes out, we can see him the same way that David saw him. David said, I killed the Lord and delivered a lion and a bear to me. You're nothing else. You're just next on the list. But do we see ourselves? The self-perception is in the stronghold. How do you see yourself in the identity that God has given you, or the identity that the enemy comes to place upon you? You're weak. You're nothing. That's what David was. I mean, that's what Goliath would say. He said, you send out this little boy to me. He said, I'm gonna snap him like a twig and throw him to the side. But little did he know who David had on the inside. He said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So, brother, I'm going to let you chime in on that, give your closing thoughts, and offer us a prayer.
Amen, brother. That's, you know, that's true. You know, when you look at it, you know, as you said, it's knowing who the answer is. It's knowing, even as a Christian, the greater one being inside of you. And many of us as Christians don't know the Lord. And what I mean is that we have not taken the time to get to know him. We have become too busy. And in being too busy, Satan was able to get a foothold and build up these strongholds where we have been captivity. Because people are going to find out, brother, in these last days, why God said what he said about his word and about prayer. Because they're going to find out that these strongholds that you're mentioning that has this hold on them where they can't rise up for the Lord, where they can't do nothing, where they always constantly like bound, can't move. This like they're gonna see why it was so important for them not to take God for granted at what he said. Because being too busy, we either being too busy with a career or being too busy doing this and doing that, having no time for the Lord, but yet expecting to walk victorious in life.
Yeah.
Jesus said we're more than a conqueror. Not without him, though. Okay? That's the thing, you know, we miss. He said you are more than a conqueror. He wasn't talking about without him, but many of us have got to the point that we think it's without him.
Yeah.
And so we're too busy to spend any time with him. And we, you know, I would so like to know the word and I would like to do it. I'm like, what's stopping you? Well, I just have so much to do. Okay, so much to do is more important, right? That's what you're saying. I said, well, it's in a turn. Things is in a turn. You're going to find out that so much you have to do is going to fail you. I said, and then what you going to do? With these strongholds, after you get finished popping all those pills that is not doing the job, you study getting more and more out of whack. What are you going to do? So, you know, brother, like I said, with this subject, it's a very important subject. And these strongholds, you are revealing to people and letting them know, okay, the devil's at work. You're giving them the answer.
Yeah.
And I pray that they really hold to it. So let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for another blessed broadcast. And though it may be the end of the broadcast, it's not the end of your word. And so, Father, we thank you today for just the chance to plant the seed that you may water and bring forth the increase. I'm grateful for your word in my brother's mouth, for your glory, giving him what to say and to speak into the people. So now, Lord, into your hands we commit it. And, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for everyone that had listened tonight. Thank you for touching their heart right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen, brother. I sure appreciate you coming on, sharing your insight. And, brother, what we're trying to do here, as I said, you hit it on the head that, you know, it's trying to awaken people to the realization that we're in a spiritual battle. And whether you said that you want to be in it or not, when you said yes to Jesus, you instantly became a part of you became the enemy's number one target. And this way, it doesn't matter what people say you are, where you came from, your background. But he knows the way that God sees you. And as we looked at David's life, you know, briefly, and we're going to get more into this in the next part. You know, one thing that I want you to take with you tonight, this scripture in Psalms 34:3, where David says, "Magnify the Lord." And when I, brother, when I looked up that word magnify, the word magnify means to make greater in significance, to make larger than. To magnify something means to make bigger. Magnify the Lord. And I want you to take this word with you tonight. Everyone that is listening, everyone that will revisit this broadcast, magnify the Lord. Make him bigger than any giant, any mountain, any situation in your life, and you'll begin to see strongholds begin to dissipate in your life. And once again, this is Brother Nate and Brother Kevin. Thanking you for joining us again. Join us again next time on the next broadcast. Until then, may God bless you. God bless you, brother.
God bless.